People of Earth, if you can hear my voice, you have arrived at another episode of Brentfest with Brent Pope. I'm your host, Brent Pope, and my guest today is photographer extraordinaire Diana Lundeen. She specializes in pet photography. She's taken pictures of my pets. She's taken photo shoots with me, and she is fantastic. And we also had a magnificent breakfast from Piroshki Bakery Bros Cafe, and it was one of the most unique breakfasts I've ever had. So don't just stand there. Let's get to it. Strike a pose. There's nothing to it. Diana Lundeen is my guest today on Breakfast.
Pick it up.
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope. Breakfast.
This young lady just smashed the lids on all these cakes in the bakery section.
I could go on a Hallmark card.
My guest today.
Oh, I'm going to need to hear all about that.
I didn't need any extra sausage.
He adds character to my crew.
Is a goat pit a real thing?
Breakfast.
What?
Welcome to Breakfast with Brent Pope.
Great place to hang out and good food, too. I'm always playing blue-collar guys.
Breakfast. Somebody screwed through the pipe.
I wouldn't jump up and down until we stabilized the hydraulics.
I love a crawler. Yeah. All my uncles got the gout. Jalapeno / cheddar waffles.
Who doesn't love that? It's breakfast time.
Breakfast.
The only show where bacon, pancakes, Hollywood. I'm your host, Brent Pope.
Diana Lundeen, how are you? Welcome to the studio.
I am great, and I am so full from my breakfast.
I have to say, like, recently, I have not been able to actually have our food right before the show. It's been like a day before, a couple days before, just because of everything that's going on and scheduling. But today, we just ate.
We just ate, and I need a nap. Yeah. I carbo-loaded.
<Me too. laughs> I'm glad I drank some coffee. We're going to get into that in a little bit. We met through my wife, Tressa. You specialize in working with pets. And the first thing I ever saw was you did this thing called, you have a book called Dogs Eating Ice Cream.
It's Dogs Versus Ice Cream.
Dogs versus ice cream.
But it is, in fact, Dogs Eating Ice Cream.
It's one of the most delightful books because you can just sit there and look at it. All the colors are bright and you're watching dogs in slow motion caught eating ice cream. The tongue could be anywhere.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, the eyes are giant or maybe they're afraid of the ice. I don't know. One of my dogs, we have three dogs, one of them would not eat the ice cream. And it's not real ice cream is it?
It's actually dog ice cream.
Okay.
I researched that when I first started doing it in 2014. Yeah, I researched what could be used. Frosty Paws, Purina's Frosty Paws. And I use that because it looks vanilla. There are other ones that probably are the dogs may or may not like better, but they're like a pumpkin color, or they're just not the color that I want. I want it all to be looking like a vanilla ice cream cone.
Yeah. Well, I have to say, if you get the book Dogs Versus Ice Cream, which I have a couple, we gave it out for holidays a few years back.
Yeah.
My dog, Andy Dufresne, who we talk about on the show sometimes, he's the only one I think in your book that knows how to eat ice cream, because he looks like he is attacking it.
He does.
I mean, he's just like,
he does.
This thing might get away. Some of them are a little reticent to Andy Dufresne, very proud. He was the most aggressive eater of ice cream, I think.
He was into it. Yeah, he definitely was. Although my neighbor dog, he's a pit bull mix. He took the ice cream in one.
Yeah.
One. In just one ball of ice cream. And then I did have another dog that ate three cones in a row before I could even take a shot. And then he threw up on my seamless paper.
Oh my gosh. What kind of dog was that? Because that seems like it would have to be a big dog.
It was. I think it was the St. Bernard, if I recall correctly. Yeah, St. Bernard just powered them down and then threw them up.
We'll talk more about your photography. I want to start with, is this a new thing, photography, for you? Does it go way back? Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in a tiny podunk town of Sierra Vista, Arizona. It's a really pretty place. Mm-hmm. It just was a small town. I mean, I felt it was a small town to me. But I started in high school in the darkroom, and then I went to college at Northern Arizona University, and I majored in journalism with a photojournalism emphasis.
Okay.
So, it's been a lot. And then I worked for little tiny newspapers, and I did everything. I had one job at the Grand Canyon where not only did I write everything and photograph everything, but I sold ads, I delivered the paper, I did all the darkroom work and made the halftones. And, talk about learning everything on the job.
Yeah.
That's...
Well, that's interesting that you worked at the, is it the Williams Grand Canyon newspaper?
It comes out, it came out of Williams. There was a Williams News at, which put out the Grand Canyon News.
Yeah.
I worked for Grand Canyon.
So, fun fact, when I was in college in the 90s, I used to do a lot of telemarketing, and I worked for this place where we would sell newspapers for different parts of the country. And Nebraska doesn't have much of an accent. There's a little bit of an accent, but it's pretty neutral.
Uh-huh.
So we would do a lot of telemarketing there. And one of the newspapers we would sell was the, I believe it was called the Williams Grand Canyon newspaper.
That would have been mine.
Yeah. So I was just like, wow, why are people reading the newspaper? They got the Grand Canyon right there. Just look at that all the time. And who cares about
the
news?
No, there's some residents. Actually, I lived at the Grand Canyon for, I think I only worked there 7 months. But I would force myself once a week to actually go through the park to see the Grand Canyon, because there's an entryway right at the entrance where you can turn left, and it's where all the residents go, and so you don't see the Grand Canyon at all. So once a week, I would force myself to drive by the Grand Canyon to see it.
Very cool. Well, so when you're working, I guess you go to college for photojournalism. Is it more of an emphasis on, is it artistic? Is it more like capturing the, you know how in the newspaper it's not necessarily artistic photos?
Right. Yeah, it was a photojournalism. Like we would do events and things like that and portraits, editorial kinds of portraits there. But we also took art. And I tell you, I am not an artist. And so it was really difficult for me to take art classes because I hadn't done that. But I remember doing color. We were taking all these paint tubes and mixing up the tones and the hues and all these different things. And I go like, oh, I hate doing this. And now I'm like all over the color wheel. I'm all over all of these colors to make things that are really complementary to each other. So I'm really studying very hard color.
Yeah.
So, turns out.
Well, it's interesting to me that you said I'm not an artist, because I feel like the photography you do is art. Do you not consider yourself an artist, or is it a different type of artist?
I think I have a certain amount of creativity. It's not artistic. I mean, I have to make myself think of where shadows would fall, and I need that kind of thing. Like, this doesn't come naturally to me. What comes more naturally to me is to think of a creative idea out of it and then to execute that idea. And even if I don't know how to do something, I'll just look it up right, you know, as soon as I can. There's always a YouTube video on something in Photoshop. So that's kind of how I do it. I've really had to train my eye to, I mean, shadows make things believable, and contouring and those kind of things that I have to learn, you know, that's what I learn.
Yeah.
I do a lot of composite work as well. So you're taking one element of something and putting it into a scene of another, to a completely different scene than where you shot it from. So I did one on Breaking Bad with my cats. I had them wearing the Jesse Pinkman hat, little cap, and the Walter White fedora. Well, that actually, and the sunglasses. And that wasn't Walter, that was Heisenberg.
Oh, Heisenberg, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
So it was the Heisenberg, and then I had, you know, all this blue ice. I bought blue rock candy and made it into, you know, the meth. And so that's really, and then I just created this whole scene. I bought a tiny miniature RV of where they cook the meth, and I had that parked in the back. So it's like, I'm pretty good at putting things together and coming up with the clever things. Like, always in my composite work, you'll find some kind of really funny thing in there that's unexpected. And that's what I do.
That sounds like an amazing photo idea, especially the blue ice.
Oh, yeah. It's fun. It was the whole chemistry set. Oh, and the other thing is, like, I always say, you can get anything you want on Etsy. I found what's the name of their, the chicken place?
Oh, Los Pollos Hermanos.
I found bags of Los Pollos Hermanos on Etsy, and so I had them crinkled up in the background You know, it was really kind
that's,
of.
See, that's the details right there. That it's the tiny details that anyone who looks at the picture just for a couple seconds, they're going to notice a couple of things. And then they keep coming back. They're going to notice more and more things. And I think that's what makes the pictures really interesting, is you can come back and keep noticing different things.
Yeah, I feel like there's a certain delight if you're a fan of the show. Like, for a while, they had that golden moth on the barrels.
Yeah.
Just this logo. So I found that online, and I put these in, you know, on the barrels. It was just fun to think of all the little ways that I can, and not make it like a hidden treasure kind of thing, but something that, you know, a true fan would go, oh, you know, that's funny.
Right. So could we set up a photo shoot? This has really inspired me. We get an RV. We'll have one of my dogs dressed as a Jesse Pinkman, like you said, but I'll just be wearing the gas mask in my underwear like Walter White when he was. And I think people would really like to see that.
I think they would. I think they would. Or the contamination suits.
Oh, no, no, no. I think just in my white tidy whities. That's what people want to see.
I think we could pull this one off, Brian.
Oh, yeah. I'm very inspired now. Who are some of your influences as a photographer or just as a creative type person?
You know, I really love, there's so much creative pet photography. And, you know, it's kind of a recent thing, maybe in the last 20 years compared to most other, you know, art forms or photography genres. I love to look at creative pet photographers, and there's so many out there, and it's really fun to see other people's work. But I try not to emulate them. Some things you just can't help. If you're shooting outdoors, you know, it's going to have this outdoor look, and you can play around with it a little bit. But the people I look to as influences are more portrait photographers and editorial photographers, because they're really on the cutting edge. You know, there's so many great portrait and editorial photographers. I tend to look at them to see what they're doing and maybe jump onto a little creativity that way. But like right now, I'm really into layered backdrops, and that's kind of, Annie Leibovitz has been doing it for years, and so many of the other photographers. Now, what I won't do is I won't do one of those ones with the movie cameras down on the backdrop and all the apple boxes and stuff like that, because that's such a cliche right now. But the layered backdrop look is a little bit fresher, and I just ordered my first set.
Interesting.
I'm very, very excited to get that
so
one.
So you can actually buy sets of layered backgrounds now.
Now you can, yeah. I just got this beautiful gray one done by this Ethan Alex in Illinois, and it's gorgeous. And I'm having him do a layered set for me as well. But I'm also like the queen of backdrops, the person who has the most exquisite backdrops, has the most experience, has the biggest, most well-known clientele. I'm having her doing a backdrop for me, Sarah Oliphant, and I cannot wait until I get that one. That one is going to be super special. And for it to be part of dog photography, that's what I think is cool. You don't see that a lot, you know.
Yeah.
This will be a unique look. Some of my friends do it, and I've been doing it too, but it'll be really interesting to see how that comes about.
Before we go any further, we did have breakfast at Piroshki Bakery Bros Cafe in North Hollywood. I did not know what to expect from this place. I did not know what piroshki was. Now I do. It's delicious.
It was delicious.
I guess a little background on this place. I walked in, and a gentleman named Abraham is one of the brothers, and he was saying that all of the recipes at this place are from his Russian and French grandmothers. So piroshki is a Ukrainian or Russian baked or fried yeast-leavened boat-shaped buns. And boat-shaped, it's kind of like a long, like a skinnier.
It's like a pirogue, the boats in New Orleans and the bayous.
Or like
stuff.
A gondola boat, right? A little bit like that. So it's kind of shaped like it with a variety of fillings. It's a very popular street food and comfort food in Russia. and, you know, part of their culture. Now, we had, what did we have? We had the
three cheese burrito, and I don't know how that's Russian or French, but it was delicious.
It was comfort food. I'll say that. We both had the three cheese burrito, and it was cheddar, feta, and American. And I remember before we ate it, I said, I don't know how this feta is going to mix in with these other two cheeses, because we usually see feta by itself, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It meshed very well. It was really, really good.
It's like a 17-pound burrito. The thing was huge.
Yeah, we'll see the pictures of it. What was cool about it is, as we were eating, I said, I feel like I should be getting more full or more weighed down than I am. And then I went back and talked to Abraham, and he said, oh, that's because we air fry everything. So it doesn't have as much oil in it, so it totally makes sense. So I was like, oh, this is a little bit, if I can come here and I can justify eating this by saying, well, it's not fried in oil.
I'm so full. Oh, yeah. My God, I'm so full.
But we had that burrito, the feta was really good, and then the potatoes in there, it was the kind of sliced, almost like thicker...
like a home fry.
Like a home fry type thing, but the disc shaped, right? And it had the skin still on it. And I thought that just added a nice little layer, nice little texture to it. It was really good.
We can recommend.
It's one of the more unique ones I've had.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because we're used to having what?
With a sausage or...
Yeah, or sausage or bacon or...
I just like mine with cheese and green chilies.
Green chilies. And, yeah. Green chilies are so good. I could eat those on anything.
Anything.
Anyway, it was a unique breakfast burrito. And I talked to Abraham also about the meat they put in. He said, well, the reason he says, we take such good care of this meat. It's halal Angus beef. And he said, and then we go and we remove all the fat. So there's absolutely no fat left on there. And then they put it through like kind of a grinder, like how you'd cook chorizo. And then he said, and then grandma slow cooks it for like 4 hours.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
And the texture was just so smooth and
yeah, it was very different because you don't usually get a beef type of meat in a
yeah, and also
burrito.
It had chives in it.
Oh yeah,
and so those cheeses, the chives
just popped. Had
yep,
little,
and yeah. The everything. I honestly didn't even notice that it had eggs in it because everything else was so, you know, eggs, I guess by itself doesn't have the strongest flavor anyway.
Right,
but it wasn't the star of this, and that's fine because that beef and I don't know what was the star. The three cheeses was really good. The beef's really good.
Potatoes.
The potatoes were really good too. So it all works really well together. And, gosh, I could not be more of a fan and more surprised by a place. I mean, it's very unassuming. You guys will see the pictures and the videos online if you go look on my Instagram or wherever. It's great stuff. So thank you for going there with me.
It was my pleasure.
Happy to support Abraham and his grandmothers and the whole family. You know, they're all making really good food at Piroshki Bakery Bros Cafe. I loved it. And thank you for going with me. It was delicious.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, you know what? I also didn't mention the we did have the piroshkis too. We had a spinach and feta piroshki. That was also really, really tasty. It was like very flaky crust wrapped around spinach and feta. And they gave us a croissant, like an Oreo croissant. And he said it was his grandma's recipe for Oreos. And that was really good too. I mean, it was an abundance of food. And I'm not ashamed to say that I ate a lot of it.
Yeah. I'm going to need a nap.
Anyway, Piroshki Bakery Bros Cafe, big fan. We'll put all the pictures up online. And thank you for going there with me. So you and I did a photo shoot together. And if anyone has been on BrentPope.com, you've seen Diana Lundin's work right there. Because all those pictures on there of me with all the colorful jackets and ties and with the banana and, gosh, what else? With the pancakes. Those are all Diana Lundin. We're in the process of probably updating them for my new hair because now it looks...
Because he's got hair.
I do have hair. And I know I talk about this a lot, but it's like now it's like, well, I can't have these pictures up forever when my hair has not looked like that for a while.
Also, let's talk about that suit.
It's too loose. It's way too loose now because I've lost.
Brent had lost weight and he came in with this suit that was like three sizes too big for him then. So we were clipping it in the back to make it look.
Yeah.
But the arms still look giant.
Look, I would say it's like one of those, talking about photos, right? It's one of those old time photos you would see of a Little Rascals era kid wearing his dad's suit. Is that kind of what it looked like?
Yeah, it's just too big.
It was too big. And
it was fun. We had the little poop emoji.
We did have the poop emoji. That was for one of the pages. Yeah, it was just a really fun shoot.
Oh yeah, and the bacon mask.
Yeah. So if you go look at that, you will think like, we just took out these fun things. We put a lot of thought into this photo shoot for a while. So, you know,
I made a bacon mask, and I'll tell you what. I was gonna buy a mask that had pictures of bacon in it because I thought, well, what's more perfect than that? But I couldn't get it fast enough, so I decided I'll just make a mask out of bacon.
Yeah, look, you have said earlier that you don't consider yourself an artist. Anyone, even if you're following instructions that you've seen something online, anyone who can take bacon and make a mask that I could wear on my face. Because it did. It worked. I could wear it on my face. It was
shrunk a little.
It did, but it was still completely made out of bacon. I don't know how you did that. I don't remember if you had to weave it like macrame or something like that.
Like a lattice crust that pie or something.
But, you know, here's the other thing. There's artistry in you making the bacon, because if you cook the bacon too long, it's just going to break.
Right. You have to have your bacon a little flexible.
And if you cook it not long enough, it doesn't look good on camera.
Right.
So there's I would say there's about a 2-minute time period where the bacon is just perfect. And maybe it's you also taking it off right at the right time because you know it's going to get a little bit harder later. I don't know. That is artistry, madam.
I'm going to put that one on my gravestone.
That's right. Made mask of bacon. Check.
And then I have to put a little registered or trademark on it.
Yeah. And then somebody will come and like some kid will come and graffiti on your headstone just with a poop emoji. And then,
true. Kids.
So there was that. And then we had the very fun thing of having a banana. I don't know where we came up with this idea, but just the banana, it reminded me of just kind of corny dad jokes, maybe older, like a vaudeville type
almost
era.
Almost Get Smart, where he has the shoe phone.
Maybe that's what it was. Yeah, that. And
you had it in your pocket for a while, and then I said, yeah, just, you know, make a call with it.
Well, and then I had the idea, like, what if I just eat the top part of the really hard part with the stem, I just ate that top part off, and then we took pictures like that. It looked cool. It didn't feel great in the mouth, I'll say.
No, banana peels, no. Banana peel has no appeal.
But yeah, so it took us, it took us maybe 2 hours to do that photo shoot.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of changing. And like, so the pictures, it's interesting.
You had a tie. You had different colored ties
for everything. Different colored ties. And everything looked very in control when you see the pictures. But behind the scenes, there's so much kind of, it's not chaos because we know what we're doing, but it's like, we've got to keep moving. There's a lot of moving parts. Every time we get back in front of the camera, we have to readjust the suit and the ties. So I am always amazed at, because I feel like I'm in this state of just moving and changing all the time. And yet you were able to still capture all these moments where it looks like, yeah, we're just chillaxing here. Yeah.
where it looks calmer than it is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is that something?
Well, I mean, I think it's like that on any set. You know, you see the sausage being made. You know, but the product is not it being made. It's the product.
Yeah.
Right. So,
I guess. But when we're shooting like a TV show, we have to get through the whole thing and we're moving the entire time. So I kind of know what's happening, but I don't know what would happen if they showed specific frames of the camera and you capture those specific frames. And I just think you're great at it. And I loved it. And I love doing photo shoots with you. And it's really fun.
Well, I can't wait for our next one because we have already decided what it will be.
Oh, yeah. I mean, do we want to talk about it? Or are we?
I don't think so.
Okay,
we'll wait on that one.
We'll talk about this. Also, later on the show, you're doing a thing of dog noir.
Yes.
Which is, you know, if people are fans of film noir, it's like that, but with your dog.
Yes.
And you.
And
we're going to talk more about that. But that's a little thing that I really, really want to do with one or more of my dogs because I'm a fan of film noir. And then obviously, you know, we did the photo shoot with the dogs versus ice cream, and I was a big fan of that. So that's another thing we're going to be doing. But, you know, thank you for doing that photo shoot with me and making it so, because I am a person, and I don't know if other people are like this, if there are other actors in the audience or just people that are getting photos done for whatever, your wedding, your anniversary. I have about, unless I am really being engaged or I'm really feeling it with the photographer, I have about 10 minutes and then I get grumpy.
Oh.
You know, so it has to kind of stay fun for me. So that's another thing you're really good at is kind of keeping the talent. I'm going to call myself the talent.
You are the talent.
No, I'm jokingly calling myself that. Maybe
that's
what, I am.
That's what I call you.
Okay, well, cool. See, that's why I'm in a good mood when we're shooting. Because you placate me and call me the talent. No, but...
And so does my makeup artist.
Oh, there you go.
She calls you the talent.
Oh, well, gosh, I'm getting so... egotistical right now. No, but when we're shooting, it's a skill also. It's a social skill of the photographer to be able to keep everyone in the kind of a right mindset. And it's my responsibility too, but, you know, when we're working together and we're both keeping each other in a good mood.
We both have to bring it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both of us. I can't do it without you. You can't do it without me. And I love to laugh. I mean, that is like, make me laugh and we are... you know,
right.
Always going to have a great time. And you make me laugh. And what we did was really fun. It was just
right.
It was just different little vignettes and it
yeah.
was fun.
Well, and so, you know, people, if you're not in the entertainment industry, you might not think like, well, this isn't really that important for an actor. Well, every actor has to have headshots.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't get the headshots, then your pictures aren't seen by the casting directors. And then the casting directors can't help get you an audition. Yeah, they can't visualize you. They can't help you get in an audition. And then you can't get parts, you know, unless you're already kind of a famous person, which you still already probably have headshots. So it is very important. So, you know, just think about if you are getting photos done, you know, meet with a photographer first and make sure you guys have chemistry together, because there's nothing worse than doing a photo shoot and you don't have chemistry together. Maybe it's neither person's fault. Some people go together and some people don't.
You have to find the person that's right with you that, you know, you click with and...
Right.
Click.
Look at that.
Oh, that was spontaneous.
Nice.
You have to find somebody that you can, you know, work with. And sometimes it just falls flat. And then other times it's when it's, you know, engaging on all cylinders, it's like the time flies. It's just so much fun.
So let me ask you this. When you're doing these photo shoots, whether it's the dog versus ice cream, whether it's the dog noir or whatever, and anything that has animals or pets in it, do you find in general easier to work with the human or the pet?
The pet.
Easier for the pet. Why is that?
Well, if the subject is a person, the person is very particular about their appearance. When it's their pet, they go, oh my God, it's little Fluffy or, you know, little. And they see their pet in its perfection, the way they know it. And so they may be critical about, well, that pose doesn't look like something he would do or
right.
something like that, but they're more critical of their faces if it's them. So that would be, even if they're in it with their pet. So, and the pet, they're pretty easy to photograph.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
Once you've been doing it, I've been doing it since 2013, so.
And the pet's also not going to come back and look at the photos and be like,
yeah,
I don't.
No, well, you can Photoshop that rollout or.
Right.
Or I have a little peanut butter under my chin, and I would Photoshop that out
right.
anyway, but they're not particular.
Yeah, because they always talk about when you're doing like TV and film, don't ever work with animals. But that's because it's in motion and they have to follow command. That's not just snapshots. If it was just snapshots, I'm sure taking the movie and...
Well, I think it's because they'll steal the scene.
Oh.
I don't think it's because it's so... I don't think it's because they're difficult. I think we don't work with children and animals because they'll steal the scene.
I never thought of that. I just never thought anyone was stealing a scene from me, so I assumed it was something else. Maybe that's their issue. interesting. I guess I always thought it was because they were difficult to work with or they're hard to get them to pose, but maybe you're probably right. I probably just one of those things that I just...
Well, you can train a dog to pretty much do anything you need it to do for a film. I would think children are a little more difficult.
Yeah.
I think children, for me, photographing children would be harder than photographing a dog or a cat. Well, not all cats.
I would have thought that it would be, like you said, pets would be the easiest. And then the children, because the children, I don't know, you have, they say kids, they'll just play and they have the imaginations and they're not going to judge it as much, maybe.
Have you ever seen the audition reel for Henry Thomas and E.T.?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
It's really good.
That kid could just bring it. That was,
you know,
amazing.
Who was great? And if we're talking about like people who I thought were really great as child actors, I don't know if Ron Howard was a great actor, but he was always just very adorable and just kind of has always been good. But Haley Joel Osment, when he was doing all those movies when he was younger, like The Sixth Sense.
The Sixth Sense. Amazing.
Was really good. Now, he's also kind of reinvented himself as kind of a portly, silly character as an adult, and he's still great.
You know, that's interesting that he even has a career, because so few of them have a career after being child stars and being really cute or whatever.
Yep.
You know?
Well, I would say he's not the cute guy now. He's more character-y looking. Mm-hmm. Not that he's not, you know, not that he's an ugly guy or anything like that, but he's more character-y looking. But he's still great. But it's really funny to put his work now up against when he's a kid, because, you know, he's just so vastly different types of parts, I guess.
Well, it was pre-pandemic. We went to Hollywood Forever to watch The Sixth Sense, and Haley Joel Osment and the director were both there. So that was really fun.
Wow. Yeah, I think it was at the end of The Sixth Sense, we find out that it was Earth the whole time, and the apes had... is that the right one?
Yeah, that's it, Brent.
Thank you.
I gotta call my agent. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
I don't have an agent.
Diana Lundeen, this has been so much fun. Before we get out of here, I need to get three quick recommendations from Diana Lundeen. What is the hidden gem show or movie that you love that people may not know?
Oh, I just think everybody knows what is good, but Only Murders in This Building is one I'm really enjoying right now.
I just started. It's really good. I'm not caught up, but...
It's really fun. There's one on PBS... and the first episode dropped on Sunday, and it's called Guilt.
Okay.
It's a Masterpiece Theater, and it's really, really good. And there's only four episodes, and I can't wait to watch all of those.
Oh, cool.
I'm waiting for Succession to come back.
Oh, yes.
The British Baking Show.
Speaking of, child actors, is it Kieran Culkin that's on Succession? He was a child actor. He's still great. So creepy on that show.
He is creepy.
That's, I feel like, is probably the best drama on TV right now for my money. It's just so engaging, and it's Shakespearean is what it is. It's,
yeah.
What is the show or movie that you watch just for fun?
I could watch Schitt's Creek forever.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It is just... Yeah, the first three episodes are kind of hard to get through, but when you do, it just evolves and evolves and evolves, and the writing and the acting just get better, and they're more into their characters, and it's really funny and touching. There's so many things going for it. I just love that show.
Yeah, it's a great show. What is the show or movie that inspires you?
Oh, that's interesting. One show that really I paid attention, especially the first season, was The Handmaid's Tale, because of the cinematography and the color grading.
Yeah.
Trying to move my photography into the next level, I'm getting into color grading now. And if you watch anything, like before I didn't even, this movie looks a little orange to me. But, you know, I didn't really think about color grading. And... those shows are making me start to pay attention to that. And I mean, I don't know how different that is between filters on Instagram and, you know, color grading. I mean, but it's very interesting. And Handmaid's Tale, that first season, had such a unique tone and color to it that it was so rich. I don't know, that one, the lighting in it was perfect. So that was an inspiration just for watching, for the color and the cinematography and, you know, the post-processing was phenomenal.
Well, I had not thought of that because I'm not a photographer, but it makes total sense that that would draw you to this show because the coloring, I mean, if you think about it, it is just really interesting all the time.
It was, and, yeah, it was that first season especially. And I think a woman did that one the first season and then didn't do it the second season.
Yeah.
It still had a little of the crossover, but not to the degree that first season. In fact, I'm going to have to rewatch that for that because I'm, you know, like I said, I'm really getting into color grading now. And that one just really hit me.
Cool. Well, guys, if you'd like to get more Brentfast stuff, such as pics of Diana Lundeen and I enjoying our Brentfast from Piroshki Bakery Bros Cafe, go to my website, brentpope.com. You can listen to all the Brentfast episodes there. You can see clips from all my TV appearances and the official Brentfast store with a bunch of fun stuff, shirts, mugs, stickers, masks, perfect for holiday gifts right around the corner. And it's all in there. People of Earth, do yourself a favor by picking up something from the Brentfast store. And if you enjoy the show, please leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to Brentfast and make sure you subscribe so you don't miss any new episodes. Brentfast is being enjoyed all over the United States and in 40 other countries. And trust me, my breakfast burrito brigade, we are just getting started. Special thanks to my editor, the one and only Rosemary Brown, for all the Brentfast slice and dicing. Much appreciated. Big ups also to my studio engineer, Marco Leon, for making me sound so good. Diana Lundeen, what is next for you and where can we find you on social media?
I am on Instagram as D Lundeen. That's D-L-U-N-D-I-N. My website for pets is dianalundeen.com. My website for people, which I'm revamping, probably with some new Brent pictures, Brentfast, is dianalundeenphotography.com. And I'm on Facebook. I have a people and pet photography sites on there too.
Well, guys, if any of this has sparked any interest to you, if you have pets, look. Get on our website. You can hire Diana Lundeen, and she'll take some really awesome photos.
You can hire me.
Yeah. Diana Lundeen, thank you so much for coming in. This is a pleasure and so much cool knowledge about photography that I did not know before.
Well, Brent Pope, it was my pleasure. And I'm going to go take my nap now.
All right. And with that, we put another Double Indemnity Dogs Eating Ice Cream episode of Breakfast with Brent Pope in the old to-go bag. See ya.